Today I want to focus on revival. And revival is the hearts of men returning back to the Lord, coming to Jesus. And many people believe that revival is just this big movement, and we just see people worshiping and praying together, and it's just like this massive thing. But in actuality, true revival is when your heart is changed, when your heart begins to seek the Lord. True revival, honestly, happens in His presence, in the secret place. Because when you are in the secret place, God can begin to deal with your heart. He can begin to deal with the issues, the wounds that are within, the hidden things deep within. Revival deals with a lot of breaking, a lot of healing, a lot of mind transformations coming and returning to the Lord. Taking off what was so that you could put on what is, what God has for you, who God says you are. I'm gonna dive just a little bit deeper into this because I want people to understand how revival needs to take place. Because revival is not a one-time thing where we just go to church and we worship and we sing these songs. Revival is so much more.
Are y'all ready for another episode? Because this is going to be one of my favorites so far. We are going to discuss revival. First, I just want to say welcome to Growing Podcast. For all of those who are tuning in, maybe this is your first time, welcome. We discuss lifestyle, personal growth, healing, deliverance, all of these things that encompass just growing in the knowledge of Christ Jesus. My name is Kenya and I am the host. So we have been discussing the many things that need to be changed or transformed within our minds, renewing the mind. But today we're going to take it just a little bit deeper and we're going to talk about revival, true revival for the kingdom of God. Now, first of all, what is revival? Of course, revival is something that is renewed, it's refreshed, meaning that it probably was broken before. It probably was lifeless. It probably was just dead. And so God comes and He revives something. He brings it back to life. He brings it to where it's flourishing. I'm going to focus on Hosea 6 for this, and that's 1-3. And it says, "Come, let us return to the Lord, for He has torn, but He will heal us. He has stricken, but He will bind us up. After 2 days, He will revive us. On the third day, He will raise us up, that we may live in His sight. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and the former rain to the earth." The first steps in revival is let us come unto the Lord. Revival is our hearts being turned back to Christ. Revival is us being positioned, us, our hearts being opened, us being in a posture of surrendering who we are back to Christ. And what was so significant about this is they said, we have been torn, we have been stricken, and they knew that God can heal them. They knew that God could revive them. They knew that God was the one who could take away all of their pain, all of their sufferings, everything that they were going through. They knew God was the one. They acknowledged that God is the one who will do this thing for us. And so when we think of revival, we need to think that it's people's hearts returning back to the Lord. Many people have strayed away. People are going to church every day, and honestly, their hearts are not towards the Lord. Their hearts are towards what they can get from Him. Their hearts are towards what, you know, tradition or religion says that they should be doing. So that's why they go to church. Or maybe they work in the church, or maybe they serve in the church, or they're leaders in the church, so they have assigned positions. But really, there is their hearts turned towards the Lord. And so revival is something where people, their hearts begin to be postured back to God, back to His ways, back in alignment with His will. If you're like me, I was searching for revival in church. I was looking for revival to happen in church. They talked so much about revival. They were showing so many demonstrations of works of power. But really, when I experienced true revival, it was in my own home. And I forgot what the Lord had even told me years ago. The prophetic word God gave to me that I shared a few years ago.
This is so amazing. So I remember growing with God in the wilderness a couple years ago, and God told me that there's going to be a revival soon. I remember praying. I said, God, we need revival. And God says, there's going to be a revival soon. So this year, I've been hearing a lot of people talk about there's going to be revival soon. And people are literally like setting up and trying to have like a place to do revival. But this is what God told me. You don't have to go looking for it or travel for it unless God leads you. But revival is going to happen right there in your own home. You will not seek man, but God himself is going to meet you in your living room. God is going to push back the enemies that have destroyed generations, and he is going to get his glory through his people. God says, be still. Healing will be in your home. Breakthrough will happen in your home. Strongholds and chains will be broken in your home. We used to get up and go seek a man, but Jesus is right here with us. Seek the things above. Let God lead you on your journey called life. Allow the Spirit to give you truth. And then God told me, sometimes you got to just be still and allow God to move. He has been trying to tell you to believe in him, that he can do the supernatural things. I've been in denial, trying to help him out, trying to have my hand on things. He says, no, be still. This is in his hands. This is God going to get his glory. The reason God does not want you to seek man, to seek the things of this world, is because God wants you to know that right where you are, he can meet you. God wants you to know that you don't have to go seeking these people who have these big titles. God wants you to know you have authority. God wants you to know that you can speak to him. You can build that relationship with his Holy Spirit. God wants you to know that you are welcome to come boldly before his throne room. Seek God because he is doing new things in people's life. And continue to grow with him.
The Lord spoke to me about revival happening in our own homes, that we didn't have to go far. A lot of us don't have to go far because it will happen in our own homes. Unless God is leading you to church for your revival, because sometimes people do need to go to church. They do need that wisdom, that knowledge that they need in order for their hearts to be turned back, in order to give their life to Christ. They need that push. But for a lot of us, It's the understanding of, I know my heart is not truly aligned where it needs to be. And so the Lord was like, it's going to happen in your own homes. And I kept thinking, how is revival supposed to take place in our own home? Isn't it the ones who are in church, God, that has the power to do this, to do that? But this year, the Lord really, he started showing me how, when he started taking me through my process of just reviving me, because honestly, my heart had turned away from the Lord. I remember it was 2024, and I remember going to my mom's home, and I remember just looking at my life, just looking back, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, and I was crying. I said, you put way too much on me than what I could bear. It was too much. And it was like in that moment, I just turned my back on the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't want it. You put too much on me. You can have it. I don't want it. After that, I actually found myself on a journey of learning how much Jesus loves me. I got pulled back into a wilderness, pulled back into a secret place for the Lord to explain to me how much he loves me, that Jesus loves you. You know, and it sounds so simple that the Lord had to explain to me his love. The Lord had to tell me that he loves me, that he cares for me, that he's mindful of me. He's telling me all these things, and he's sharing how he feels towards me, who I am. And he's just really comforting me. He's really, you know, pouring into me, because not very many people poured into me. People will try to pour into you spiritually, but what you really need, that thing that you really need poured into you, a lot of it can only come from God. A lot of the words that you need can only come from God. A lot of what you need, the love, the care, everything you need, can only come from God. And he said, revival will happen in your own homes. It will happen in the secret place. When people's hearts begin to turn back to the Lord, it's in the secret place. It's in that place where they begin to close the door and they begin to meet with the Lord and they begin to ask him questions. They begin to seek him wholeheartedly with their mind, with their soul, with everything. Trying to understand who he is so that they can understand who they are. Because sometimes the world puts so much on us that we become double-minded. We become conflicted of who we are, what our assignment is, what our purpose is. Why were we created? Why did God allow us to go through all of these things? And if you're like me, God put so much on me He allowed me to go through so much that it was painful. It just beat me. It broke me. It was so much. It was like extreme to me, very traumatic. And I remember just standing and saying, Lord, you put too much on me than what I could bear. And when those words came out of my mouth, it was truth to me. That was my truth of me letting God know, this is what I feel like you did to me. And so he took me on this journey of really being transformed. And this journey encompassed me going back to the basics, to the foundation of learning who I am, who I am not, who God has called me to be, my assignment. He added even more to my assignment, gave me more details to it. And I started really learning about Christ Jesus and his love for me, what it truly means and who I truly am and my rightful position as a joint heir with Christ Jesus, my rightful position in the kingdom of God. Y'all, I was going through it. From being homeless, lack of finances, not seeing family, just being overworked, just being depleted, not being able to be myself, being stuck in a box, not being able to be creative. I was going through it. My mind was just destroyed. I was being attacked from every side. I was going through it. It was just too much for me, knowing things I shouldn't know, hearing things, and it was just too much for me. It broke me. It made me just look at the church differently. It made me look at God differently. Because God, if these are people that you are raising, that you are calling leaders, that you are putting in position, Lord, then who are you? And so it made me look at God differently. It made me not understand who this God was. Because the God that I knew when he first pulled me into the wilderness was nothing like this. The God I knew when he first started teaching me, grooming me, was nothing like what I was seeing in everybody else. And the Lord started really ministering to me and helping me to understand how people are people, humans are humans. And just because they go to church don't mean that they're not going to be like the world. And so what really I had to understand is that just because someone may be in position doesn't mean that that is who God is. Just because someone may have a title doesn't mean that their character represents the character of God. So as I'm on this journey in the secret place, I'm asking questions. The Lord is coming to me, ministering to me, giving me truth, giving me revelation, teaching me about Christ, taking me deeper, showing me his ways, allowing me to understand it, telling me to be patient. My patience was, it was just perfected. And he was just helping me to understand his love for me and my position in Christ Jesus. And helping me to understand the many things that I had went through, the many people who were around me, the heart postures of many people. And it became something where I fell back in love with the Lord, because I realized after everything I had gone through, the Lord was the only one who remained. He was the only person, the only one who came to me and began to speak to me, began to minister to me. And I think about the children of Israel when they were going through the wilderness and how they could have went to the other side a long time ago. But their mindset, their heart posture prevented them from going to the other side. And so while you're in that secret place, God is grooming you. God is changing you. God is healing you. God is delivering you. He's fixing your heart posture. He's removing those stones from your heart. He's changing your mind. He's renewing your mind. He's allowing you to see things the way he sees them and giving you the opportunity to surrender things to make the process a little bit easier. But the longer you hold on to your old self, the longer you hold on to your old ways, the longer you will stay. And so I had to realize that I was in a place where God was training me and grooming me and raising me himself. In Hosea 6, it says, "Let us pursue the knowledge of God." They're saying, let us continue in growing in the knowledge of the Lord. It is so important when God pulls you aside and he starts to allow you to go through this revival process. He is teaching you about the Lord. He's teaching you about Christ. He's teaching you about his love. He's teaching about who you are. He's growing you. He's grooming you. He's pouring into you knowledge and wisdom. They said, let us start growing in the knowledge. Let us pursue the knowledge. It is knowledge that elevates you. It is knowledge of Christ that is your protection over your mind, over everything that God gives you. Because people are destroyed for their lack of knowledge. And where you are ignorant is where the enemy will attack you. If you have no idea that you are blessed, a lot of the times you will be poor. If you have no idea that God is protecting you, God is covering you, you will always experience attacks. Because where your ignorance is where the enemy loves to attack you. And even when you get truth, when you get revelation and knowledge, sometimes it goes in one ear and out the other. And so you really have to stay in his presence, stay in his word, meditating on his word day and night in order for that thing to stick in you, in order for that thing to become a part of you, for you to be confident in the word of God, to be confident in who he has called you to be. So as I'm going through this process with the Lord and he's just doing his big thing on me, we just going through the works, the renewing of the mind, the healing, the deliverance. And he finally gets to a place. He says, I need you to start to forgive now. And I said, Lord, I already forgave everybody. What you mean? Like, who else is there? I'm trying to get up out of here. Like, what else is there? He said, I need you to forgive him. Let go of what I was holding on, the anger I was holding on towards him. Because I had went through so much that I began to blame God for everything I've gone through. I began to blame God for everything somebody didn't do for me. I began to blame God for what I had seen, how his servants were acting, how people were acting. I began to blame God like, this is who you are. This is supposed to be your representation, Lord. I began to blame God for why things around me were corrupt. I began to blame God. And honestly, I began to have this dislike for God, but it was hidden within me that I didn't even know. And God had to pull that thing out. He had to shed some light on it and say, I need you to let go of this. And he began to teach me of who he is. And the same person, the same God that I first met, that I knew, was the same God he was in that moment to me. Because the God that I knew when I first started going and growing with Christ was one who would never leave me or forsake me. One who was always covering me and providing for me. One, whatever I needed, whatever I prayed for, God was giving to me. It may not look like how I wanted it to look, but I had it. I felt protected. I felt covered. I felt like I didn't lack anything. I was walking and moving in miracles, big miracles. Like, my mind was just blown. Like, I don't even know how this happened. I don't even know how, God, you just gave me a large amount of money like this. And like, it was just amazing miracles that I was seeing. Doors opening that I'm like, Lord, how? But it was like I had been tainted. I had forgot my first love. I had forgot the very one who saved me, who was there for me when nobody else was. The very one who picked me up and showed me his unfailing love. I forgot the love of Christ for me and what that truly meant when he died on the cross for me. I think sometimes we learn so much spiritual things. We learn so much. We try to get these deep teachings. We try to do all of this extra stuff that we push out the voice of the Holy Spirit. We push out the foundation and we try to build on something that really can't stand on its own. And the only thing that I've learned to stand is the knowledge of Christ. Is your knowledge of him is what will stand. That foundation being Christ will stand. And so revival is when the hearts of man come back to the Lord and they begin to seek him wholeheartedly. They begin to desire to grow in the knowledge of Christ. They begin to meet him in the secret place. And I'm gonna be honest, even when I returned to the Lord, meeting him in the secret place was a struggle for me. I went in my prayer closet every day for weeks and heard nothing. I heard nothing. So I would just go in there and I would just start talking to him. That was one of the first things that I said, I don't know if he's even listening to me, how angry I've been at him. And I just started talking to him. I just started crying and sharing what I felt, what was really inside of me, breaking it down. And I would say, okay, Lord, it's your turn now. You speak. And it would be dead silent. But my mind, it was just not in a place. It wasn't ready for him yet. I had to let go of some things. So I kept coming. Every day I would keep coming in that closet, talking to him, telling him how I feel. I didn't even know if he was truly listening to me, but he was. And it was just this one day where I come in and I'm expecting, you know, myself to just begin to speak. And the next thing you know, I'm laid out on the ground and I'm getting healed. I'm getting delivered. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? The Lord had heard me. The Lord had been listening to me the entire time. I had poured myself out to him. And sometimes that's what we forget to do, is to pour ourselves, to empty ourselves to him. He was waiting for me to be empty. He was waiting for me to let go of everything, to talk it out with him, talk out my experiences, talk out my pain, my sorrow, the things that bothered me. He wanted to hear it all. I kept going for weeks. Sometimes I would go every day about the same things, but he wanted to hear it all. He was listening to everything I had to say, even if I didn't know it. And honestly, it wasn't me saying these big words and me going in there. Sometimes it was just me. I would just lay down and I would just be like, okay, Lord, you know, this is what happened today. And I remember this, and this really hurt me, Lord. Like, I don't know why it felt like this. And like, Lord, what do you think about this? It just was so casual to me. So casual. I didn't feel a deep presence. I didn't feel like the Lord was even there. It was just me talking and pouring out. And I didn't know that I was really preparing to enter deeper into that secret place. But I had to empty myself. I had to let go of things I was holding on to. I had to share my heart with the Lord. A lot of the times we find that we want to hide our hearts because our hearts have been broken. Our hearts have been filled with pain, with bitterness, with just many things of this world that we've been carrying. Maybe someone did something to us. And so we hide that in our hearts. And we don't want the Lord to see that, because we think that if he sees that, you know, uh-oh, we sinned, or uh-oh, you know, we did this wrong, or uh-oh, he thinks that, you know, my heart's not good, my heart's not pure. But no, God wants to know everything, because he sees all things. He knows all things. Sometimes you'll go to him and talk to him about one thing, but he's listening to what your heart is really saying. Your heart can be saying something completely different than what's coming out your mouth. And so when we experience revival, we're experiencing being in the secret place with the Lord, and he is really working on our hearts. He is really changing us, transforming us. As we are in the Word of God and we're reading the Word of God, he's renewing our minds. He's allowing us to experience more of him, to learn more of who he is, so that we understand who we are in Christ Jesus. And then when revival comes, that fire comes back. Because we have emptied ourselves, and that fire comes back and begins to consume things within us that don't belong. We begin to keep going. We become consistent. We begin to understand his love, and we find our first love again. Another verse that God gave me was Ezekiel 36, and it is verse 24. It says, "For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all your uncleanliness. I will call for the grain and multiply it, and bring no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of your trees and the increase of your fields, so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations." God is so good. When we begin to return to him, he does great and mighty things for us. Anytime God was disciplining or judging his people, or just really upset and just casting them out of his presence, was because they decided to go their own way. They decided to seek idols. They decided to worship other gods. They decided to look away from the Lord. But the moment they just returned to him, God was merciful. God was so merciful. He wasn't, God is not a God who is quick to get angry. But God doesn't like when we turn away from him. Because God knows what happens when we turn away from him, then the enemy has access to us. But when we return to him, when we begin to seek him, the Lord delights in us just being in his presence because he knows what is good for us. He knows what is best for us. Because he sees the destruction that the enemy has for us. The destruction, when we're going in our own ways, worshiping our own things, a lot of people don't know that they idolize many things, idolize different things. When we take our eyes off the Lord and we start going in our own way and seeing things the way we want to see them, that is when the enemy has even more access to us. That is when we see so many things. So we wonder, where is God? We wonder where he is, even though we could be in church, even though we could be praying and worshiping, we don't understand where God is because we've actually taken our eyes off him and put it on our worries, put it on our lack, put it on what we don't have. And we begin to serve our worries and our lack by seeking other people, by seeking what we can gain from other people, what we can get from other people. We try to go in our own ways sometimes. We try to do things our own way because we don't want to lack. We don't want to have to worry about things. We don't want to have to go through trials and struggles and all of these things. But that is the one trick of the enemy, is to make you think that you lack something. When the Lord says all you need to do is go to him and ask and he will give it unto you. Seek him and you will find him. It's in the secret place where we will find who we are. Because we get to know Christ even more. And the more we get to know him, the more knowledge we have of him, the more we discover who he is and who we are in Christ Jesus. You are not what everyone says you are. You are not that person that they labeled you as. You are not your difficulties, your struggles, your problems that you came with from the world. That is not who you are. That is not who God called you to be. A lot of people don't even understand that they're called for greatness. But a lot of people waste time trying to do things their own way or do things the way that people want them to do it to please other people. When you begin to seek the Lord for who you are, he will build you up in such a way that there is no way that you even want to go back to who you are, because you see that who you are becoming is so much greater, so much wiser. If you are praying for revival, pray that you will have a willing heart to get back in the presence of God. And that you would seek him wholeheartedly, that you would turn away from your worries, you would turn away from whatever you idolize, you would turn away from those things, and you would just seek him, not for what he can give you, not for power, not for gain, not for materialistic gains or all of these things this world can offer you or what your eyes see, but returning to him because you know that that is your Father. You know that he loves you and he cares for you. And you will find peace in his presence, and things will just be added onto you. Your heart's desires will just be given to you. Before you even pray, he will already answer. Hosea 6 talks about dwelling in the Lord's sight, that when they return unto him, they will be in his sight again, meaning they will be in his presence. They will be where he is, and he will be where they are. They will abide in him, and he will abide in them. The Lord is wanting his people to return to him. Many have fallen away and don't even know it. Many have begun to idolize and seek other people for things, for their life to change, for money, for power, for fame, for direction. And the Holy Spirit is our guide. He's the one who leads us, who guides us, who knows the mind of the Father, who can give it to us. But when we push him out, we push out his presence. We push out his voice. We push out his instruction. We become lost. We become lost. And that's why we have to go through the process of revival. Because we are returning unto the Lord. We are coming back to our first love. For many, revival will be a consistent process of just seeking the Lord. Revival won't be this big thing that just happens in church. You know, you may be activated into it, you know, with the worship, and your heart just starts to desire the Lord again, and you feel that fire again to just seek everything that the Lord has for you. But really, revival will happen in that secret place when you begin to give your heart to the Lord and you begin to pour out and empty yourself before him so that he can pour into you, so that he can begin to fuel that fire within you again. And a lot of the times it's the process, because we need healing. We need deliverance. We need to empty ourselves. We need to renew our minds. We need to change things about us because we are called to be joint heirs with Christ, meaning we have a position in the kingdom of God. So our minds must be also aligned and positioned with what the kingdom of God says about us. Before our mother's womb, God knew us. God knows who we are. God knows who he's called us to be. But we've got to seek him because we are now hidden in Christ once we say yes to him. But when we begin to seek the world and the world's ways, we lack the understanding that God is the one who will give us all things. Sometimes the things that he will give us, it doesn't sound logical. Like, Lord, why would I go this way when everyone else in the world is going this way? Because the ways of God are for us. And it's not everyone who will go the same way. Jesus is the way. And anyone that jumps ahead of him is a thief and a robber, the word of God says. And so we have to stay on the path. And when God pulls you in that wilderness, that secret place, when he pulls you aside, the worst thing you can do, trust me, I try to get up out of it. Because it will follow you wherever you go. It don't matter where you move to. It don't matter where you go. It's going to follow you because where God needs you to be, it's a heart posture. It's positioning your mind. It's building you up. It's grooming you to who you need to be in this world, in this earth. And so if you want to move place to place because you're trying to avoid, you know, a place where you feel like it's a wilderness, a place where you feel like you're empty, you're just going to carry that with you to the next place until you allow God to continue his process in you. And the more you surrender, the more you let go of things, the more you give God your heart, the quicker it will go, the faster you will learn, the more he can pour into you and then release you. They finally started to trust him. When he said a word, when he spoke it, they believed. They went with courage, being strong. They believed in him again. They trusted in him again. And God wants us to trust him, to depend on him, not depend on this world, not depend on leaders, not depend on people, because man cannot be trusted, but to depend and trust in God, depending on him. Revival can be a process. Yes, our hearts might turn towards him and we want to seek him, we want to know him. But what do we do to maintain that? Yes, our hearts may turn towards him to seek him, to know him. But what are we doing to maintain that? What are we doing to maintain the presence of God, to maintain our relationship with the Holy Spirit? What are we doing? Are you saying yes? Because if you're saying yes to the process, if you're saying yes to revival, if you're saying yes to returning unto the Lord, then you're saying yes to his process of really cleansing you, of really making you new, renewing your mind, healing you, delivering you, so that you can become who he said you were before your mother's womb. So that you can be that person who stands as a child of God, not like a child of this world, but a child of God, a man, a woman of God. So if you are saying yes to that process and you want everything the Lord has for you, you want to be really close to his Spirit, intimate with God's Holy Spirit, going in his secret place, feeling his presence, knowing the secret things, knowing more about God. The power, the true power of God was with the Holy Spirit. If you want power, then you need to get to know the Holy Spirit, because it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of the living God. It's by the Holy Spirit. God has everything for us. Lord Jesus has provided everything for us, but we've got to seek him to find it, to find ourselves. So if you are saying yes to that process, I want you to subscribe to my channel. I want you to subscribe to my podcast, because we are about to go on a journey. We are going to go on a journey. This podcast is built so that we can focus on renewing the minds, so that you can hear real testimonies, so that you can understand real things that real people have gone through, so that you can get the knowledge of Christ that you need, so you can start renewing your mind. You can start maintaining in the presence of God. You can start seeking him wholeheartedly, pulling yourself away from the world, out of this world, understanding who you are, your purpose, your identity. If you saying, yes, Lord, revive me. Yes, Lord, heal me. Yes, Lord, cleanse me, deliver me, make me on fire for you again, then I want you to subscribe, because I want to be a vessel that the Lord uses to encourage you on your journey, to help you continue to maintain, to grow in the knowledge of Christ and being led by the Holy Spirit. You are not alone on this journey. You are loved on this journey. God loved you so much that he gave Christ, that he pulls you, he separates you from this world, pulls you into his presence, and begins to speak to you, minister to you about who you are. And sometimes you need that community of people who will help you maintain, who will help you to grow. You can't do everything on your own. We need companionship. We need people. We need like-minded people. Iron sharpens iron. So if you are saying yes, subscribe, because there is more to come. There are more groups to come. There's more to come with this podcast. And I just want to just share everything that God is pouring into me. As he has freely given to me, I want to give it away as well too. And so thank you for even giving me the time, if you've got this far and listening. But thank you to everyone who subscribes, who just wants to understand more of Christ, even for new believers. I think new believers need to definitely be the ones to come into this, because there's a lot of people who've been in church their whole lives and they still don't get it. But if you're a new believer, it'd be so much easier for you to just catch on, because old wineskin is difficult to empty out sometimes. You know, the old wine is difficult to empty out the old wineskin. Sometimes they want to keep it, but it's really easy to pour new wine into new wineskin. And so subscribe and let's do this journey together. Let's do it together. You're not alone, but you are loved. Thank you so much for watching, and God bless.